The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, Shasta County. It is February 11th, and I am down here broadcasting live from KCNR 1460 AM 96.5 FM. We are also streaming online, KCNR1460.com. In the studio today, I have Wynn Carpenter and Corky Harmon with me, candidates for District 3. It's been a great morning, actually. We're laughing, and I've got to tell both of them to stop talking because my song's rolling, and I don't want them talking over Billy Joel. So that song was My Life. This is my show, funded by myself. If you don't like it, write your congressman or do something about it. But I don't care because, quite honestly, I'm feeling a little bold this morning. I think that being in politics this time has just made me realize there's people that want to help, there's people that want to complain, and then there's people that just want to do nothing. And there is sometimes no in-between. So I have two, like I said, amazing candidates with me today for District 3. Our current supervisor, Mary Rickert, who was invited about 6 weeks ago, said she had an event in Whitmore come up. So the people in Whitmore, please post lots of pictures. Would love to see the event that she's at this morning and not being here for the debate in studio. We have had in the past two shows, and again, I'm live every other week, but we've had Suzanne Barrymore, Dr. Sloan, Dr. Hobbs, for District 2 in, and then for District 3, or I'm sorry, District 4, we had candidate Matt Plummer and Supervisor Jones came in. And you could look at those if you want to go back. You could listen to the audio, or you could watch the live feed, which is on Vote Kevin Cry on Facebook. Again, Vote Kevin Cry on Facebook. And we are streaming this one as well. So we are going to jump in. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Okay, so we're going to jump in. So here's the format, same as the last couple that I've done. We're going to take one hard break at the 30-minute mark, and we'll break for 2 minutes. We're just going to go back and forth. You guys have every opportunity to, you know, respond to one another. Again, this is about getting information out to voters of some questions, some related to your district, some just about general. And we're going to try and keep time as best as we can. So I have my stopwatch here that you guys will be able to look at. And let's try and keep the answers to the time given. And, again, we'll always give you 30 seconds or so to respond. So we're going to jump in. The first question will be to Mr. Carpenter. Why are you running for Shasta County Supervisor? 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay. Well, I've been going to the board meetings for 6 years now. And just got interest sparked over certain things that I heard 6 and 7 years ago. And so I started attending then just to see what was really going on. I needed to be informed. And so I've been going, and it's been a show, let me tell you. Since that time up to current, it's really been a show. A lot of good people have come and gone as far as in attendance, seeing what's happening there, understanding what's going on. And there's nothing like being in the room. You have to be in the room to understand what really goes on up on that dais. You have to understand what goes on from the attendees, the people in the crowd, both sides of the room, all sides of the room. You have to understand all that. You have to understand the nuances and so forth that play out there. You have to hear the idle chatter from the board members up on the dais. And it's different than being online. You can hear it online, but you don't get to see it, and you don't get to hear everything. And that's the challenging part when you hear it online. So there's nothing like being in the room. And so that's why I've decided to do it, just like watching what's going on, not being happy with the responses that we get as a county in total, but specifically in District 3. I'm not happy with all the votes that have been going the opposite direction of the citizens' information that they like to have, like to hear, want to hear, and the support of certain things coming down, or lack of support. And actually, truly, it's the lack of support of things that are always voted no on, like you know, the Second Amendment issue that we just recently had. You guys put together and said that you wanted to have, as a board, you wanted to have safety and security for your county employees and for the citizens of the county being able to carry and being able to conceal carry, because that's what we have to do right now, but conceal carry into the county buildings. And it amazes me that District 3 representative, current representative, said no.
Yeah,
that just blows me away. So things like that, that's what I'm watching for.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Harmon, 2 minutes. Why are you running for Supervisor District 3?
You forgot to tell the people what we were talking about before we got on the air. It was the Super Bowl. What are we doing here?
That's right. No, church, then the Super Bowl.
Right. There we go.
Thank you for inviting me in. And good morning to everybody. The question is, why am I running for supervisor? Well, I've had the inkling or the passion to do it for a long time. I ran for supervisor in 2010, as some people will remember. This time, I was a little frustrated because I was actually in the wrong district. I was in District 5. And I told my wife, I said, if you'll agree to me running for supervisor, it's kind of like putting the fleece out. And if you'll agree to me running for supervisor and they rezone me into District 3, then I'll run. But I had to get my wife's approval. Okay. So everybody, not everybody knows, but they rezoned the districts in December, year before December.
Yep.
And I got moved into District 3. I live in the same house I've been in for 33 years or so. And, well, that was the first green light. And then I walked in the house one day about 6 months ago, and my wife kind of caught me off guard because she wasn't really approving of the whole thing. She's pretty private. And she says, I walked in the front door. She says, oh, you're running. I think I'm going to the holiday market to get something, you know, that she needs for dinner. And I said, what are you talking about? She says, I now understand why you want to run. She'd been listening to podcasts and following a lot of, you know, getting a lot of information, and she said, I want you to run. And I said, okay. So there we are.
Yeah. No, that's I get that. And sometimes with our wives, we're voluntold, just like the military. Okay. So probably no responses from either of you, so we'll go to the next question. I want to go back to one of the topics of District 3, and we'll start with you, Corky, about the specific plan that the citizens of Palo Cedro, it had been there a year prior to me even getting on the board and then even being there. We spent an entire year on it. How do you think the current incumbent handled that situation, and do you agree with the direction the board ultimately is going after the vote or the poll that was done?
Well, it's a little confusing to tell you the truth because there's like two different entities out there, and I know people on both of them that are friends of mine, and I'm not sure why they, you know, get so upset at each other. But I think we all want the same thing, which is controlled growth, obviously, and we don't want to hurt the mom pop businesses. You know, we had the Tractor Supply wanting to move in. We had the subdivision, 160 or 66 homes, that was going to impact Palo Cedro. And then we had the low-income housing, if my information is correctly across the street from Junction School. And everybody got up in arms over all that, you know. I want to see control. I want to see us follow the general plan, and I understand there's a little conflict about the general plan, you know, but I don't think there's any conflict with the general plan except for following it.
Okay. Same question, Wynn. How do you think it was handled? How could you have maybe handled it differently? And then ultimately what the board came to, what are your thoughts?
Well, it was growth of government instantly up on the dais. And, It was frustrating to watch because when the timing came, when the board started to make a decision, it already died on the vine pretty much with the funding for it. It already expired. And so by watching that happen with the funding of the information that that played out during that course of time than having two board members up there. One challenged the representative for our district to move on it, and they weren't willing to do anything about it. And then the other one decided to say, hey, well, at least I'll attend the meetings, I'll help out where I can, whatever. And then eventually then the other board member, the representative of District 3, got on board. But at that moment, it's when, if you were watching it, government grew right there. And we don't want that. We don't want that. And I think the other board member did it out of frustration because they were getting hammered by people that their friends that live in Palos Cedro area, and they represent a totally different district. And so they were getting hammered by all those people saying, need to do something. It's like, okay, fine, he did something. And then he was in a no-win situation where he didn't make anybody happy. And so by then, the two different groups that are involved, the one that was really pushing hard for it, were hoping on or hanging on to get certain things done, and that time had already expired on what was going to be allowed, how it was going to be played out. And so they weren't going to get the funding that they thought they were going to get, you know, for the area to develop the plan. Yep. And so, yeah, I understand wanting to keep the big box stores out because they just take down the mom and pops. I'm friends with several of the people out there that have mom and pop operations, and one is in the middle of construction right now, is trying to break ground for exactly what was going to be happening at some point. So we have to watch out, have to make sure that things are working properly, and make sure we have all the information. And not all the information was disclosed in the board meetings either. Yeah. So that was very frustrating on both sides and from the board.
All right. Any response? Or are we moving on?
No, we can move on.
Okay. Wynn, this next question will be for you. Recently, we just voted as a board, passed 3-2, to decide to caucus rural, oppose a suburban, with CSAC. The current District 3 Supervisor Mary Rickert voted against that, said that we should caucus suburban. Is District 3 suburban or rural? And what are your thoughts about that vote and about the identity of Shasta County?
The entire county is not suburban, so not one district can be suburban. And so I'm very much opposed to that because we are labeled as suburban. And so when our county goes to compete for grants and funds through the state or fed, we are mislabeled. And they have giant red flags on what counties are labeled as such, whether they're rural, suburban, or urban. And since we're suburban, labeled suburban by our own county, we're missing out on the grants and all the other funds that are available to rural counties. And we are labeled suburban, but we are a small county labeled in suburban. We're competing with all these other counties in Southern California that have 500,000 or more people in their county. So there's a lot more money that we'd be going for, but at the same time, we're not qualified to do that. And so we're the small fish in the big pond. We could flip that, being in the rural counties and being one of the larger fishes in the small pond and being competing with and alongside, not so much competing against with, but alongside our neighboring counties who are rural. So you're talking about all the northern counties that we have up here, everybody that's adjacent to Shasta County. So we need to make sure that we are labeled properly so that our grants can be written for things that we actually need and can use here in the county and that we will be able to move forward with. It's frustrating that our representative doesn't want to do that. They want to be the small fish in the giant pond versus being one of the larger fishes in the smaller pond. And that way we'd be appropriately labeled. We'd be able to go for the grants, and it makes it easier on staff and management throughout the county to do exactly that.
All right. Corky, same question, rural versus suburban, and then your thoughts just as the possible representative for District 3.
Well, I absolutely would like to see us rural. You know, it's like one of the things, without repeating a bunch of stuff that Wynn just said, it would have slowed down the whole smog process for us and our trucks and our vehicles. You know, you can go to Trinity County and Siskiyou County, probably MoDoc, probably MoDoc County, and they, or Lassen, and they didn't have to step up as fast as we did when it come to all the smog regulations. The NOx exempt lasted longer, the low mileage usage, you know, there's just some things for construction and trucking, but I think there's probably a lot of advantage, maybe even fighting this whole water issue where they want to meter, and I haven't got into it. When I don't know if you have, but I haven't got into it enough to know if there would be any advantages to being rural as far as these being required to meter wells and limit our, you know, our attack on our water rights. So,
any response?
No, I agree with that, but there are reasons why they attack our water rights. Look what they're doing to the dams up in Siskiyou County. Right now they're pulling them out, and Copco Lake and everything else, it's horrific. So they are actually after our water. They did that for ACID, 2 years ago now. So they have definitely been going after us, and it's done by bureaucrats in the state and federal level. So we as the county need to fight that, and that never happened, and that's very frustrating because we have a lot of really good people that are suffering from it and have suffered from it.
Okay. Corky, next question for you. And just to let the listeners know, moderating this is really – I'm not going to share my thoughts. So if there's something that maybe is misspoke, whatever, my job right now is not to point it out. It is just to facilitate it and keep asking questions. So the next question, we're going to talk a little bit on this next question about local control and water rights or fountain wind, et cetera. But how – Corky, when was the very first time you started to see, that you can remember, where you started to feel like Shasta County wasn't under local control, where you started to feel Sacramento was bearing down too much on the county? And this can be – it's a totally open question. You have 2 minutes.
Well, the overbearing first thought is, of course, COVID. You know, I mean, we all experienced the overreach of the state mandating – what we had to do for our own health, and we were very capable of making our own decisions. And I've said this a couple times in other venues, but Christy Nome, South Dakota, they never slowed anything down. They never closed anything. They let the people decide. And for the question of overreach, that's huge overreach. And then even right now, you're watching like our water department, or not the department, but bureau. You're watching that grow exponentially. You're watching the IRS. I just was reading they're hiring a whole bunch more, 40-something thousand dollars or 1,000 new agents just to audit. Well, the overreach. It's probably just about everywhere you look, you can see some overreach. Our education system, you know, what they're mandating to the teachers to teach, that's overreach. I don't think we can push back enough to try to protect our rights.
That's great. Win, 2 minutes, same question.
Okay, first time seeing government in California coming after us, huh? Well, the first time I was truly aware where it hit home was 2012 or 13. I can't remember exact year, but that's when California legislature decided to take away our gun carrying rights, our open carry rights. And we were able to carry openly, but we couldn't have a loaded weapon. And that was done prior. And that was thanks to, at the time, Governor Reagan. When the Black Panthers came in and did a protest at the Capitol, they walked in with their long guns, and they were taken in to the wrong chamber. They were expected to go into a meeting room, and they were taken into the chambers where the Senate or Assembly, I can't remember one of them, were assembled, and they walked in, unbeknownst to them, that they were walking into that room. And it was done by accident by one of the staffers, and that was given the tour and taken them in. And so from that point on, we've been restricted on what we can carry. But most recently, it was like 2012 or 13 when we were restricted on being able to carry our guns, loaded or otherwise. And so that's why it's such a fight for us to be able to keep our constitutional carry rights going. We absolutely have to do that. Because if we don't have that, then everything else goes away instantly. And then we have no way to really fight this whole thing. So I'm a big proponent on that. We need to make sure that we get that taken care of, get it addressed, and get it addressed immediately.
Great. Any response?
Oh, I'm absolutely a big, I'm a gun collector and Second Amendment rights and right to carry. I believe in all that. The only people that they're going to potentially slow down from carrying is the honest people, not the crooks.
Yep.
We all know that. And then we just made progress getting the, being able to buy ammunition without And then did it get called back?
Not to my knowledge.
It's still good, right? Because somebody,
as far as I know,
I think somebody started a rumor with me. I was pretty excited about that, and then they said, "Oh no, that got called." And I said, but anyways,
okay.
Yes.
Great. All right. So next one's for you, Wynn.
Okay.
The relationship between a supervisor and Sacramento, as we're staying on this theme of government overreach and, mm-hmm. and things of that nature, what do you have, or what's an idea or something you want to bring as a supervisor that's different, that's outside the box, that really cements local control and more, I guess we'd say, sovereignty for the county as a supervisor? Is there any one project or any one initiative that you really want to see coming through, pushing back on the state?
Oh, absolutely.
Give me the first one, and then what would you do to make that happen?
Oh, okay.
A couple minutes.
Well, it'd be constitutional carry, first okay. and foremost. That would be one of the biggest things, pushing back against the state. That puts them on notice that you're not going to mess with us. It would be a constitutional carry, which allows you to carry open or concealed, however you want to do it, loaded or empty. And as long as you're in good standing with the law and you don't have any felonies, especially with a weapon, you can carry. So whatever the federal law is, that's what would apply here. Because as a board supervisor, as an individual running for this race, I took a constitutional oath to the federal oath, federal constitution, and the state constitution in that order. And then the California Constitution says that the federal constitution is the supreme law of the land. It specifically says that in the Constitution. So if I take an oath to both those constitutions, how could I do anything otherwise?
Great. Corky, same question. What's one thing that you would like to bring forward that's different, outside the box or not, that you could do as a supervisor pushing back on Sacramento?
Well, I would definitely back what Wynn just said. That's, you know, we probably can't talk about that enough. But one of the things that I am very pro about is our sheriff, our elected sheriff, is the strongest position we have, elected position that we have in the county. And I think we need to, and I think we do, you know, support our sheriff and support the sheriff's department. And I think that anything we can do to enhance that and strengthen his position on things like this constitutional carry and, having permits and being able to the good people in our county to be able to, follow their God-given rights.
Got it. Okay, next question's for you, and this is about Prop 1. As we look at the state overreach, and this will be the last question before break, Prop 1 is on the ballot right now as it relates to mental health dollars and where those are allocated. So, Corky, what are your thoughts on Prop 1? And if you don't mind sharing, if you've made your mind up, how are you voting, and what are you telling people about Prop 1?
Well, the first thing that stands out is it's more bonds, which is more taxes. So I am very much for anything we can do to help with the homeless and the mental health and the whatever. But I think there's a lot of that can be done to improve that within the budgets we have without adding more tax dollars. I think it's getting abused and getting not necessarily put into the right places. I read an article, I think it was last night or maybe it was early this morning, about and it was, and I can't remember who I was reading, but anyway, it was about we have the ability to make a change right now with our homeless, with our mental and health, and we got to get more going on as far as the jail. And I think we have 7 or 8 beds that are dedicated to mental health, which is not near enough. But my feelings are a no on it. I would like to get a little more polling done on it, from
okay.
some people. But, yes.
Great. Wynn, same question. 1 minute. Prop 1. Share your feelings. Talk about local control. Go ahead.
It's immediate no. When California comes to you and says that they're going to do something and you're going to pay for it, you tell them to pound sand. All they're doing is taking our money and diverting it there. Now, what are they going to do with that money? Are they really going to give us the services that they say that they're going to give us with our money already in place? No, they're not going to do that. It's going to be filtered to the general fund. So this big old deficit that the governor's got us into and the legislature, they have got us into this whirlwind of trouble that they're going to try to recover that as best they can. So by doing that, they're going to try to get us all throughout the state to vote for it, and the uninformed voters are going to do exactly that. They're going to vote and say, yes, we need to do it because it says mental health on it. They label it that way, and it's a Trojan horse. It cannot happen. We can't allow it to happen. As a supervisor in the county, I would do everything within my jurisdiction as a sitting supervisor, because don't forget, the supervisors, the five of them, have the most power in the county. They are the legislative and executive branch of the county. They control the purse strings of every single department. They can do anything and all that stuff as long as they have the votes to do it and they're within the parameters of common sense and morality. They can do it. So I would say no, it'd be a hard pass on that one for me.
Okay. Any response?
No, like I said, I agree. Yeah.
Okay, so with that, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about term limits, which is on the ballot, as well as the charter county and other very important and hot-button issues, I think, not just the District 3, but actually all of Shasta County. So with that, we'll take a short break. 2 minutes. We'll be right back.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Redding Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Saloon would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Dr. Eric and Tiffany Blasengame present Amazing Pollinators, on display now through May 27th at the Turtle Bay Museum. Immerse yourself in this visually stunning, game-based role-play adventure that explores the colorful and diverse world of pollinator and plant relationships. Amazing Pollinators at Turtle Bay Museum was created by Minotaur Mazes, a company specializing in interactive maze exhibits. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Need a cure for the midweek blues? Laughter is the best medicine. Join us in overtime every Wednesday at 8 p.m. for Comedy Night. Enjoy the humor of different comedians every Wednesday. And the weekend is heating up in overtime with karaoke every Thursday and DJs performing every Friday and Saturday night. So grab your friends, your dancing shoes, and enjoy signature cocktails with no cover charge. See WinRiver.com for the weekly lineup.
Must be 21 to attend.
Find your moments at the river.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Redding Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
All right, we are back. Downtown Redding, KCNR, 1460, AM 96.5 FM. If you're streaming and watching online on the Vote Kevin Cry Facebook page, hello. And if you're listening to the radio or if you're listening to the replay, which this will be available for replay at VoteKevinCry.com as well. All right, jumping back in with both candidates for District 3 Supervisor. Again, Supervisor Ricker was unable to attend. So I think we're back over to Wynn now for the next question. One of the ballot measures on the for this election, March 5th, is about term limits. Supervisor Kellstrom ran on that in 22 and 23, one of the very first meetings of the year. That went up, and that was, I believe, voted 5-0, if I remember correctly, by the supervisors supporting term limits, which would limit a supervisor to having two terms, not necessarily consecutive, but two terms in office. Where do you stand on that and thoughts? 1 minute.
Well, doesn't
two
it,
minutes.
Didn't you mean it would allow them to only have two terms?
Only have two terms.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to make sure of that. Yeah, no, I stand for that. We need to not have career politicians, even at the local level or especially at the local level. We've had that, and look where it's gotten us. We've had them on there for a long time, and it was a disservice to the community and in the county as a whole and their specific district. So I think we need to rotate in and out. It's our civic duty as Americans. It's our civic duty as citizens of Shasta County to get in there and to do our part, learn it, understand it, and move on. And you only have a small window of time. You have either a four-year term or 2 4-year terms, but each term you have to get in there and get your tail in gear and get stuff done. And if you're not going to get stuff done, then don't run. If you're not going to get in there and vote the right way that the county wants you to vote, and when I say county, I'm talking about constituency, you need to vote the proper way. I've seen too many times where District 3 representative goes total counter to everything that is discussed in the boardroom. Everything. And to me, like I've talked to others about, it seems like out of spite for either fellow board members or the citizens of the county, and specifically her district, which I am one of and have been for a long time. So it's very frustrating to see that. And so that's kind of partly what prompted me to run. I'm tired of seeing that and being frustrated over the simplest things that could have been a yes. And even knowing that she was going to be on the losing end, she still could have supported some of these issues. She could have, but she chose not to.
You talk about Supervisor Rickert.
I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you said she, okay.
Yeah.
Same question, Corky. The term limits.
I'm very much for term limits. I think that's what causes a lot of our negative influence, I'll say, from special interest groups, because you get somebody in there in that office, in that position, and they've been there for term after term after term. Some of them have been there, you know, not necessarily at the county level, but, if you look up like Congress and the Senate, well, holy smokes, they've been there for, I think our president's been in there for 50 years. Well, they've been there so long that, the special interest groups are able to get to them. And they're making decisions that are influenced outside of what their sphere should be as far as, power. It's too much power. They go in there and they're making, you know, whatever it is, $150,000 a year, and they come out and, you know, a few years later they're worth millions and millions of dollars. You know, I mean, I'm not a mathematician, but I can do that much. I can do well on that. I mean, you can only do so much in investing, and it doesn't add up to that much, I'm going to tell you.
Any response?
No, I agree. I think it's crazy that these things that need to happen. We need to get control. We need to have control of it. When I say we, I'm talking about the citizens of the county and the representatives of the county of the citizens. And that's the elected officials, the executive and legislative body, and that would be the Board of Supervisors.
Great. All right.
So,
yes.
But can I say one more thing?
Absolutely.
So the President of the United States has 2-term limits.
Yep.
There was a reason for that.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. No, it's okay. I agree. Okay. Charter County, that's Measure D. That's something that I brought forward. There's a very, very simple, if you look up in the ballot guide, this is one thing I will say. The voter guide has all the information you need on any race or any measure. There's statements in there. I would encourage you to read those. But this Measure D for the Charter County is very simple. At the vacancy at the Board of Supervisors, currently, right now, the governor gets to appoint. I mean, that's his by law. It says he shall appoint. If there's a vacancy, that means if there's a death, a recall, someone moves out of the area, etc., governor gets to appoint. If this passes, if the charter passes, what that means is it takes the power from the governor's office away and gives it to the supervisors, and the supervisors have one of three choices. They can collectively speak for the county and appoint that person. They can leave it vacant until the next election, or they can call for a special election. Those are the three options in the charter. So do you support a charter, yes or no?
Absolutely. I'm almost offended you asked me that.
Okay. So I'll ask when. I don't want to offend both of you. So when?
Too late. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're good. You're good. No, I absolutely support a charter county for the reasons that you said. And it can be worked on and voted on by the people. That's the thing. It's done locally. It's exactly that. It's in our ballot right now. It's going to be on the ballot. And so we are able to voice our opinion on that. We're able to get things cleaned up and doing it at a local level, which is much more powerful than letting Sacramento and all the yahoos down there doing everything they do to us, because the way you guys wrote it, it was very clean, and it was very surprising, too, that our representative, again, once again in District 3, is against it. So you have to think about that. You have to see who wrote that, because like Kevin said, the way it's written in there and everything about it, look who supported it. Look who supported it. District 1 supervisor. District 5 supervisor and District 4 supervisor. The other two districts, they were not represented by your supervisor at all, period.
Yeah, I don't it's hard to imagine anybody being a pro. And this isn't about just, and I will say I am speaking a little bit about this because, again, it's my show, but it's anytime we can keep Sacramento or any other person. This isn't about just Newsom. This is about Sacramento in general and about anybody else dictating what happens here in Shasta County. And we've seen plenty of examples where the state meddles in things of Shasta County, and it's just an absolute.
Well, and it goes back to what I said a moment ago, is that it shows clear disdain for the district by our supervisor for District 3, our current sitting supervisor, because she voted no against it.
Yes.
So for clarification, if it goes to, if it stays at the county vote and there's only four, somebody is not there, what's the tiebreaker?
So right now, and that's just it. And that's where you're talking about, like, right now. So if Measure D, I'll say when Measure D passes, that doesn't go into effect until January 1st of 25. So here the governor will appoint in my race in particular. So for the calendar year of 24, if there's a vacancy, and again, I don't want to go into that. This is your guys' time, but right now there wouldn't, the Board of Supervisors wouldn't get a say in that. It's completely Sacramento. Now going forward, in 25, let's say this passes and then somebody passes away or there's a vacancy and it's 2-2. And that's why I wrote it the way I wrote it, because elections are very expensive. And again, it was one layer between giving it directly to voters versus the state. I wanted to take everything away from the state, first of all. And to be honest, anytime we can have a special election, I'm always going to push for that. And I could go into, there's elected positions right now within Shasta County that if there's a vacancy, like, you know, you're talking about the sheriff, you're talking about the clerk, you're talking about DA. I mean, there's other elected spots that right now the Board of Supervisors gets to make that appointment. And they have consistently, even at SCOE, Shasta County Office of Education, they just had that. I mean, somebody ran for a four-year term and they bail after a year. And so, and again, I'm not saying that, and I believe I think it was Freeman who got that job, and I'm not saying he's not qualified. He's probably very qualified, but the reality is every chance we can get the people to have an election, that's what I'm always going to push for. So let's move on.
So what's the tiebreaker if there's four?
Right now it would go to an election. So let's say in the year 2029 someone leaves and there's a 2-2 split, then the option then would be they leave it vacant to the next election, which I don't think they would do that, because if the board was split as a 2-2, that means nothing would probably get done.
Right. That's
and then it would go to a special election, and it would go very quickly to a special election.
I mean, it could be minor decisions.
Yeah, well, it could be. Yeah,
I mean, that's why you have
our board right now is pretty much, 3-2 most of the time. I mean, we're talking about something I think is very rudimentary in terms of term limits and charter county and rural and impact fees. And that's what I want to jump into. That's a great segue. So impact fees.
Yeah.
This board just voted to suspend impact fees and soon after to terminate them once the fund balance is spent. Noel DeShort, our auditor controller, did a phenomenal presentation on that. CEO Rickert and the analysts are working on how we can spend that money. Again, this board majority wants the majority, if not all of the money possible, to go to the jail expansion. But once that money is spent, then those fees terminate. Your guys' in District 3, your representative voted against impact fees, wanted to keep impact fees. What are your thoughts about that vote, and why do you feel that's important? And I think who's first? Who did the charter first? You did the charter first, so that this is your question first.
So the impact fees, I think that was – I mean, I heard one testimonial was Kelly at the Palisadro Feed. I think it was – she's got all her building ready to break ground, and I think it's a steel building, so it's all sitting on the ground there. But I think it was saving her like $30,000 for that permit, and that's huge for her. And it was like – And I was not for the impact fees. I was glad they voted to get rid of them. And then I was happy to hear that from a personal testimonial from Kelly at Palisadro Feed. But I mean, that's going to ring all the way across the county for, you know, people. I mean, housing. Holy smokes, we're interest is of course killing housing and everything's working on it. But the idea that we can encourage development. It's all positive. You'll make it all up in the taxes and the jobs and sales tax. Okay.
Same question, Wayne.
No, I'm a supporter of the impact fee going away completely. The supervisor for District 3 once again voted against that, and what she articulated up on the dais about it is saying it's only going to affect the contractors or the major contractors, major builders. Not true. It affects everybody in every way. And if I was going to go build a home out in Palisadro or anywhere else, it's going to affect me. So, no, I would say, yes, you guys did the right thing making those go away. And the funds that those go to are going to be made up in additional taxes. Because I worked at the county for 8.5 years in the assessor's office as an appraiser. So we appraise all the properties, whether it's dirt, just plain dirt, or if it's timber, or if it's residential or business. We appraise everything. And I had the experience of doing that, and I met some wonderful people doing that. I know that they are tickled pink that this has gone away, because if they want to do any kind of a correction or expansion on their property or business, they can do that. And like he just brought up, Palisadro Feed is looking to do exactly that. She was thinking, oh, great, the delays paid off for me. So she wasn't doing stuff before everything else happening, because everything else for her construction has been delayed through the county for various reasons, crazy reasons. And then, of course, like everybody else has been dealing with this stuff here in the county, it's a big deal. It's a really big deal. So don't take it lightly. And I'm glad you guys didn't take it lightly. And once again, it was a 3-2 vote by the two who are not representing the county or the district.
Okay. This one is for you, Wynn. This is about jail expansion. How do you feel about there's been obviously a lot of discussion about where the jail would be located? Obviously, we've moved forward with what we're doing behind the courthouse. Would you support a tax or a bond to build the jail if it came to that?
No. No, not at all.
Corky, you want to elaborate or no?
No. Sure. I mean, there's money in the county. I mean, look at that budget.
Yeah.
There's money in the county, and you can, and as the Board of Supervisors, go through line item by line item, double-check everything, check where the figures are, have the department heads and the bureaucracy that we all know is there, have them work their tails off to get it figured out. There are ways of making it happen. There's money there, and it doesn't need to be taken from bonds, from additional taxes from the citizens. No way.
Same question, Corky.
I agree with that. I think we're both on the same. We want to see that forensics audit on every little thing in there and see if we can. I mean, I'm a businessman. That's what first thing you do is you look inside your own. You don't just start spending money. You gotta see if you're creating a new project or you're creating you need a new piece of equipment or whatever. In my world, you gotta justify it and you gotta figure out where you're gonna pay for it. And we can't just go. Or well, we could go borrow money if we're irresponsible. But you'd prefer not to create more overhead. You'd like to figure it out with the budget that you have, and I think that's right. When what we need to do is get that forensics audit done so we can see what's there, see what we can do.
Great. Okay, so I'm going to give this question. You guys are going to have 3 minutes, and it's going to be a little bit longer of one. So I'm going to ask you both, what are your three main top priorities, and how do you want to attack each one? So 3 minutes, your three top priorities, and how do you look to get those three things done? So 3 minutes, here you go.
Well, my number one has always been, since I started this, has been crime. I think crime, the reason I'm so focused on crime is because I watch the news and I see what's going on across the country, and there's so many things popping up where they're doing training for riots, training. They're doing they're trying to figure out how to control these immigrants that are coming in, and they don't even know who they are or where they're going, and we can't keep a blind eye to that. We got to recognize that's going to cause more problems here in Shasta County, not just where you read about it on the news in the cities. It's going to affect all of us, and if we don't heighten our security, it's the sheriff's department, which gets back to the jail, of course. We don't have enough beds, but
and so then that's the first. What's the second?
And the mental health, homeless, which ties to the crime stuff. You know, I deal with it every day at my office. My office is over by the Churn Creek Post Office, and it's very frustrating. We got to run them off. The girls in the office are very uncomfortable. Got to lock the doors during the daytime. We got to get up and go unlock the door every time somebody wants to come in and out, because they'll just walk in, and if there's not enough people around, somebody's in the office by themselves, you lock all the doors. Well, that's terrible, and it's broad daylight. It's like, that's just unacceptable. Not just because of my predicament where, you know, but it's that way all over the city. So, what do we do about it? That's a tough one. That's probably the toughest one. For me, law enforcement, somebody does something wrong, you address that. But some of these people haven't done anything wrong, but they need help. You know, some of them are creating, are causing crimes, but most of them are, have mental or drug abuse, or we need to figure out how to give them help. I'm not an expert at that, but that's
what's the third.
And the third is that, you know, going in and doing. I think it's the budget. I mean, everything's tied to the budget. We gotta get into that budget and figure out where we have money. Figure out where we can. Create more money by saving money so we can put it to the right. I mean, it's just management. It's about all I've ever done is manage large projects. This is another large project. It's probably the largest employer in the county, with 2,000 employees and large budget and a lot of employees, and I just feel like it needs some good business background on that board.
Great. All right. So I gave him 3.5 minutes. Wynn, I'll give you 3.5 minutes as well.
Okay.
Three top priorities, and how do you see attacking and getting those things done?
Okay. The order of the priorities would be the forensic audit, the windmills, and the Second Amendment. So forensic audit needs to happen. I've been barking about this for years on the radio show that I co-host, and also at town halls that we've had when we interviewed candidates that are running for multiple offices here locally. And even some of them that have been running, that were here locally current in office, and they were running for state offices, when they would come to talk to the citizens of Shasta County and they want to garner support, I would ask them point blank, are you going to do a forensic audit? When is this going to happen? And they always, they give you lip service, and they say, well, I'll see what I can do. I'll see what I can do. No. Is that a yes or a no? And for me, it's a hard yes. We need to do a forensic audit, find out where we're sitting. We need to know exactly what we have in each department and find out where the money's going. And is it going to be expensive? Yes. Is it going to take time? Yes. Is it going to save us money in the long run? Yes. So we have to do that. We have to get a forensic audit done and move forward from that once it's completed, and we'll be able to better garner what we're going to do for each department. And then the windmills, I want to totally take control of that, because in a good way, with the support we already have from the planning department and the Board of Supervisors, who both agencies voted 5-0 against it. So how is the state going to have the gall to come into our county and tell us that we absolutely have to have it? We don't have to have it. We can say no, and we can say no on many levels, and there are different ways of doing it. Working with our county council and making sure that we do it in a smart, orderly fashion, and make sure that we fight back. And we're going to have to fight back, and our citizens do not want to see that. A lot of us, we can see those windmills from Redding. You can see them from Anderson. So people can see them from all over. And then you're on the backside of the mountain, and you can see them from Fall River. So you're seeing them countywide, no matter what. And they also add additional fire issues. A good fighter pilot that I have, a dear friend who is a DC-10 pilot that fights fires. He's been doing it for years, and he will not fly over that. He and all his comrades will not fly over that. They won't fly over it if there's an active fire going over the windmills, because the weather pattern changes with the fire. And we know by 3 o'clock every day the wind blows up on the mountain. Sometimes those windmills move, sometimes they don't. But if you're having a fire, it creates weather patterns which are dangerous, and choppers will not fly around or near them. So why would we add another row of windmills up there to be number one an eyesore and then a huge issue for fires for our county? It's not worth it. And they're invading on territorial lands that some of the natives here in Shasta County hold as sacred. So why would they do that? They don't want that as well. And then the third thing is going to be the Second Amendment again, and having constitutional carry here in Shasta County. And I would fight for that wholeheartedly, because it's the right thing to do. And once we have that, and we are standing firm on that, we operate accordingly. We've never had any issues with constitutional carry citizens doing anything wrong. So we have history on our side, and we have proof on our side to move forward, make sure it's going to happen. So those would be my top three issues at the moment.
Okay, great. So give me, first of all, how can somebody get a hold of you, like your website, mm-hmm. any phone number, email address? So give us those real quick.
You can go to votewincarpenter.com, and on that website, you can email me.
Okay, and then Wynn, is that two N's or one?
One N.
One N.
Yep.
Wynn Carpenter.
VoteWynnCarpenter.com.
VoteWynnCarpenter.com.
Yep.
Okay, and then Corky, your email address, how people can get a hold of you, your website, et cetera.
It's
your TikTok, any of that stuff you have.
TikTok.
Yeah. I'm kidding.
It's all CorkyHarmon.com, CorkyHarmon.com.
CorkyHarmon.com. Awesome. Okay, so we're gonna wrap up with this in 2 minutes. I will start with Wynn. In 2 minutes, why should District 3 cast their vote for you for supervisor March 5th?
I've been going to the board meetings for, like I said, 6 years. I understand the nuances there from the former board and the current board, understanding, seeing what's going on, and from the crowds there, the people that show up, and understand those nuances. But also, I hear a lot out in the community of people are very frustrated. They want some common sense brought to the board, and I offer that. And I'm a strong contender for that. I'm most knowledgeable as far as going in there and understanding what's going on, and I'm willing to work with anybody on pretty much any project where our current supervisor is not, and has proven that over and over again. And I would never say things that, like she has said on hot mics about people in the room. That happened during COVID, and she said some very disrespectful things to people. Think what you will, but do not articulate it. And that has happened multiple times. And people out there know who that was spoken about. And it's very frustrating, because we're going in there trying to get things done and just having feedback. And sometimes, yes, they're going to be passionate topics and issues, but you have to operate accordingly. So I feel I'm the best one for the job. and that's why I'm running. I mean, I was the first one to sign up to get going on it, and so I waited and waited to hear and see if there was anybody else out there going to do it. Nobody was coming forward. The word was nobody else was going to do it, so that's why I did it when I did it. And then shortly after I did, two others came on board.
Yes. Mr. Harmon, why are you the best candidate for District 3? And a minute and a half, roughly. Go.
So when I had some obligations and I didn't want to kick this campaign on until I took care of them obligations, my motto is supervisor for the people, because I feel like I am very well known out in the community. Obviously, I don't know everybody. Not everybody knows me, but you can find out about me. And I feel like what we need is some good business sense. I've been in business for myself since I was in my early 20s.